Welcome to another exciting word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Are you guys ready for the word? Today we're going to be talking about the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel. And the message of the gospel, do you know that this is the most respected and yet the most rejected message that the world has ever known? Think about it. Think about how many people respect the message of the gospel. I mean, they've lived for it. They've died for it. They've pledged their lives to it. And yet, how many people have rejected the gospel message? It really is a very polarizing message. Either you say yes, and if it's true, then you know, I embrace it, and it makes this tremendous difference in my life. But if not, if you don't embrace it, then you almost have to deny it. Because who would say that it's true and not follow it? So it's, you know, by many standards, the most respected and yet the most rejected message that the world has ever known. But thankfully, the gospel message, the message of Jesus Christ, is still ringing true in the hearts and minds of people. And today, probably close to 100,000 people will be born again today around the world because they will have heard it maybe for the first time and said, whoa. How could that be? Or maybe they have really embraced it for the first time. Maybe they have heard it so many times, but today it breaks through that crack in their heart like a seed. You know how it is whenever you go out into your driveway and there's grass growing up through some little crack and you try to kill it, but you can't? Because it just keeps growing up through that little crack? Well, that's the way seeds do. And the seed of the gospel, the seed of faith in Jesus Christ, is one of the tiniest seeds, the Bible says. It's like a mustard seed. It is one of the smallest, but it will grow into the biggest plant that you can imagine. And so somebody today has come here or is watching online or has gone to a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, an Episcopalian, an Assembly of God, you know, a United Pentecostal Church this morning, and they are unsuspecting, but they're a little cracked. And a seed is going to get in there, a seed of the gospel. And the seed is enough to change your life. I'm a living example. So many of you are, I don't look like that I have ever, been that person I used to be. You know, I was drunk for 2 years of my life. You know, I'm not proud of it, but I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget what Jesus did for me. You know, I was on the wrong road, going the wrong way and going pretty fast and thinking that was life. You know, I had some Christians, some deacons from a Baptist church in Bossier City, Louisiana, because Brenda finally talked me into going to church. So we went and visited a Baptist church, and they, you know, I felt guilt-driven. They pushed this visitor's card in front of me, you know, not like us. We just leave it on the back of the seat in case you want to do it, you know. But, you know, they pushed it, you know, and so I filled it out, never imagining that on Tuesday night they would be coming to my apartment, but they should have come a little earlier. Because I was almost passed out. And a friend of mine who was there visiting with me named Angus Brown from California. I don't wonder how Angus is doing. I don't know. He was sitting there and he had already drank all the hard liquor I had. All I had left was sloe gin and he had been drinking it. And it was running down his mouth as he was laid back in the easy chair. And these two deacons come knocking on our door. Whew. I wasn't a happy camper. They came in, they sat down, and, you know, they were much more gracious. You know, I mean, gosh, you know, they had gotten saved. They had a life before, but you don't expect that from Christians. You expect that they think that they're wonderful and they think that you're terrible, but that's not the way it works. You know, they weren't judging me, but I was judging myself. Boy, I sat there and tried to talk to them. You know how it is whenever you're not quite yourself and you're trying to make people believe that you're not, you know, not quite yourself. And so I finally made it through that moment. Angus, he kind of coughed or belched or something and woke up. And he looked up and there was two guys sitting on the couch. He raised up and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, y'all want a beer?" I went, no, they don't. They don't. You know, we don't drink beer, you know. So he gets up and goes and gets him a beer, comes back, sits down. When these two deacons left my house, I told Brenda, "Don't you ever ask me to go to another church again. Do you understand me? That's the most embarrassing thing I've ever had. Don't you ever, how dare them come to my house?" But coach, they must have dropped a seed somewhere. You know? Wow. Do you know people are on their way today to the most wonderful, peaceful, joy-filled, exciting, prosperous, fun family life, and they don't know it. Perhaps all they know is the moment they're in or the life that they've had. But Jesus is going to drop a seed in their life. Somebody, perhaps somebody that you sent the share message to, you know, just a little link here. Maybe that person has a little crack in their life, and maybe the seed of the gospel is going to fall in and begin to grow. And you know what? They might even try to cut it down a few times. You know, I mean, I've had that experience when I'm trying to, hide your Christianity a little bit. You don't want your neighbors to know. You know, you don't want your friends to know that you've changed. You know, I remember taking a friend to church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you know, he worked for me. I was his supervisor. And when the Spirit of God just moved over my heart and called me into the ministry, I began to just weep and weep, and I felt so embarrassed standing beside my friend because I was weeping and just saying, you know, "Whatever you want, Jesus, whatever you want." And I kept thinking on the other half of my mind, this guy's going to think I'm kind of, you know, he's going to think I'm strange. He's not going to like me anymore, you know. He's not going to respect me anymore. But nothing could be farther from the truth. That impacted his life so much that it changed his life, you know. The Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." And the gospel, the message of the gospel, is the most respected and yet the most rejected. Day after day, people say no to what God wants to do in their lives. They say no to the peace that Jesus wants to bring, to the joy that He wants to grow, to the love and to the forgiveness and to the plan He has for their life. They keep holding Him back. They keep deciding they'll do a little something different, or maybe not today, not now, but today just might be your day. I encourage you, as I encouraged our online congregation earlier, just open up your heart just a little bit, because today is a special day. Today is a day that we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the message of the gospel is still ringing loud in the hearts and minds of men and women, all ages and all stages of life, all conditions, all situations, all past, all presence, all cultures, all customs, every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue, every ethnos. The Spirit of God is reaching out. He has a wonderful plan for our lives. He is still spreading hope and faith and love. And the message of the gospel is older than the rivers and it's fresher than the rain. You know, don't fall for the propaganda. Don't fall for what the devil wants you to believe. Don't think for one second that somehow the message of the gospel is getting weaker or maybe irrelevant. Don't imagine. Don't believe what the devil has to say. Don't believe his propaganda. Now, I am well aware that America needs to be re-evangelized, okay? America needs help, you know? The world needs help. America needs some real help. In fact, do you know that at our White House today, there's going to be the annual, you know, Easter egg hunt? Do you know that Jesus was disinvited to that? Isn't that horrible? Yeah, I'm well aware America needs some help. I mean, the First Lady today said that, you know, okay, anybody that's doing any coloring today, all the children at the White House, you cannot do anything about Jesus or the cross or the resurrection, or you can't do anything religious, nothing religious. You can do anything else you want. You can draw pictures of a lot of other things, but at our White House today, you cannot make any connection with it being the resurrection or a Christian holiday. That's a public declaration today. Yeah, so America needs some help. Now, let me tell you what Jesus said now. Okay, don't be getting mad on us. Okay, well, you can get mad. You can get sad. You can get mad. But Jesus told Peter, put your sword away. Hello? Listen to me. These people need saved. They don't need the ear cut off. Oh, come on now. This is a better message, and I'm getting an amen. He told Peter, I could call 10,000 angels if I wanted to, and I could fix it right now. But Peter, put your sword away, because I cannot afford to lose one of you. We have a job to do. We've got to reach the world. We've got to spread the gospel, and we're not here to kill sinners. We're here to make them alive. We're here to show the goodness of God and the light to the world and to plant a seed that changes lives. We're not trying to incite a riot. We are trying to change the world. And it happens because Jesus comes into a heart and because he causes a soul to change and light to come. Let me tell you, I'm preaching now. What should we do if we see that America needs to be evangelized or that our community, our nation? Well, number one thing, we need to live the love of Christ. You're not going to fix anybody by hating them. Hello? Do you know you're not going to fix the world by fussing at them? Jesus said, put away your sword. Let me show you a better thing. We're going to have revival. I am going to fill you with a power of love, and that seed in my life, I am going to sow into your life. And what's going to happen with you is you're going to grow a crop of love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and humility and self-control. And you're going to be a light shining in dark. I am the light of the world, but you're going to be the light of the world, and we're going to see souls saved. Wow. That's where change comes from. You see, we still have a chance today. We're still breathing. We still have a chance to reach and teach our teenagers. We still have a chance to reach and teach our young adults. We still have a chance to reach and teach our families about the love of Christ, about how powerful it is, about how life-changing, and about the reward that is awaiting those who lift up the light and champion the cross of Christ. You see, we serve a big God, and there is still time. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We serve a big God. He knows what he's doing, and there is still time. I'm not saying we need to be happy about sin at all, but I'm saying we don't need to be afraid of sin or think that it wins. It does not. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. God will help us. He's not finished yet. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he paid the price for every soul that would ever come into this world. He paid the price for their sin. Well, some of those aren't born yet. Some of those are still yet to be born. Some will be born next week, next year. And if the Lord tarries, next decade or the next century if the Lord tarries. And he paid for their soul as well and their sin. And he is waiting on every one of them because not one drop of his blood will be wasted. Jesus will not abandon one soul that he saw when he was on the cross. He looked across the ages and he took sin from your life and from your life and from your life and from your life and from your life, and he gladly took it upon himself, and he saw through the ages, and some of those people are not born yet. We still have a work to do, and it's rolled up in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So today, this very special day, Easter, you know, the resurrection day, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have set it aside. And so allow me with just the next few minutes here before we receive communion to give you just a little bit a refresher course on the message of the gospel. All right. First, the life of Jesus is a message of love. That's what we saw him doing, right? I mean, who could have any problem with Jesus? Who could have a problem? He just went around loving people. He went around healing people. He went around feeding people. When we saw Jesus, we saw God. And what we saw in Jesus is Jesus showed us God helping people. He showed us God by healing people. He showed us God and the love of God by caring about others. You know, someone would really have to misrepresent Jesus in order to imagine that he was anything but love. Someone would have to really misrepresent the gospel and really misrepresent the church for anyone to have a problem with it. Now, I'm going to ask you to think about becoming a good Christian. A good Christian. What does that mean? That means that we become like Christ. Okay? There are some other religions that I hope that they are bad at their religion, because their religions demand that they kill us. Our religion demands that we forgive and that we love our enemies, that we feed them, that we help them, that we witness to them, right? I mean, we got a pretty good example here. So I'm going to ask you to become a good Christian, to become like Christ, to realize that someone would have to really misrepresent Jesus to have any problem with him. But that's what people do. They misrepresent him all the time. I want to live a life so that someone would have to really misrepresent me to claim that I hate people, to claim that I'm prejudiced, to claim that I'm angry and unforgiving, bitter, that I'm a robber, that I'm somehow unjust or uncaring. I would want them to really have to misrepresent me for that to be true. You see, sadly, the world misrepresents Jesus all the time. But when we saw Jesus, we saw his Father. And what did we see? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. God so loved. He so loved the world. Wow. Well, the message, as I said, the life of Jesus is a message of love. The death of Jesus is a message of pain. Physical pain. I mean, that is a reality. Jesus bore our pain. He bore our sorrows. But the message of the death of Jesus is a message of pain. Not only physical pain, but emotional pain. I know you have felt it. Jesus felt it. Jesus felt physical pain. He felt emotional pain. The Bible says he was rejected. He was betrayed. You know how that feels? Yeah, you know how that feels. You know how it feels to be disappointed because someone treats you wrong, and how you hurt mentally, emotionally, you know, physically. Death is pain. Jesus died. Death cost. Death of Jesus cost God. It cost the world. It cost us. You know, death in general cost. Death cost. Death is pain. There is a pain of disappointment, a pain of loss. You and I experience pain. So did Jesus. You know, The life of Jesus was a message of love. The death of Jesus was a message of pain. Even the pain of things that you will never get to do again. The pain of things you will never get to enjoy again. It's one of the reasons why Jesus prayed, God, is this your will for me to go through this? Because, I can resist it. Pain is unfortunate, but unfortunately, pain is a part of this world. And we are still in the first coming of Christ. Y'all know we're in that season, The Jews really did wonder when Messiah came. They thought everything was going to be over. But there's a difference between the first coming and the next coming of Christ. We are still in that parenthetical first coming of Christ season. We are the body of Christ. We are still dealing with sin. We are still dealing with sickness. We are still dealing with hunger. We are still dealing with people who do not know Him and do not love Him. We are in this first coming season of Christ. And there is no reason in the world for us to ever expect to be treated better than Jesus. Hello? Yeah, we said that, earlier that Jesus was disinvited to the White House. He's been disinvited to our schools for decades. You can't come here to workplaces. And in the world, to many public places. I would say many, if not most, nations have a law against you bringing Jesus into the public arena. He's been disinvited to so many places, especially in people's hearts. It's a sad situation, but it is a reality that Jesus has been so misrepresented that He is unwelcomed in a lot of places. I hope He's not unwelcomed in your life. I hope you would invite Him to be a part of your life, to be a vital part of your life. The message of His life is love. The message of His death was pain. It was a lot of pain. But Isaiah 53 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. His pain had purpose. The pain that the cross provided was with a purpose. And the purpose was so that He could pay for a time, so that we, His followers, His children, can step into an eternity where there will literally be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more hurt. Oh, wow. What is that? What is that message? Well, that's the message of the resurrection. You see, His life was a message of love. His death was a message of pain. But His resurrection, the resurrection is a message of hope. This morning, let me tell you, there is hope. There is hope without regard to whether or not you have been disinvited, uninvited, unappreciated. There is a message of hope today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a message that Jesus wanted to leave us with, not just leave us with a message of His death and I've paid for your sins and one day, but rather He wanted us to see that He was victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave, so that we could also be resurrected with Him and we could live in this life with a faith in the finished work, not just the cross of Calvary, not just the tomb, but also the resurrection. For if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. There is hope today. There is hope for the lost. The resurrection is hope for everyone who is lost. Jesus won the victory. It's a good message. It's a real message. And today I pray there is just even the smallest of cracks in your life, so that the seed of His love could get in. Because Jesus loves you with an unimaginable love. A love that compelled Him to lay His life down for you, to pay for your sin. There is a message in His death, and that is that He bore your pain, your sorrow, your sickness. and the hope of the resurrection is that God is with you, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in the earth and today is willing to step into our lives, is willing to help us with every trial, with every trouble, with every temptation, with all disappointments. He will give you hope, hope of a better tomorrow, hope of a better future, hope of being rejoined with those who have gone on before us. You see, the resurrection is a message of hope. Hope for the lost, that they might be saved, and also hope for the saved, that we have a home that none of us have ever imagined. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, that's what you have hope for, an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You have an inheritance. There is hope for the saved. We have an inheritance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been given, and there is a secure promise of an inheritance that's incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. There is a reason why we need a new world. And the reason is because sin dominates this world, but righteousness will dominate the next. Verse 5, who are kept? Talking about you. You are kept. God is keeping you. God is keeping you by the power, by His power, through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You are saved, but yet there is a salvation that is ready to be revealed, a salvation that is so wonderful and so marvelous, so unimaginable, that eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man those things which God has prepared for those who love Him. It's reserved for us. I thank my God for the living hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Today, if you have not been born again, if you have not made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, if you have not invited Him in, please don't reject Him today. He's had enough rejection for one day. Okay? Don't reject Him today. Invite Him in. Say, you are welcome in my life. You are welcome in my family. You are welcome in my thoughts. You are welcome into my deepest trouble, into every trial. You are welcome. Carry Him with you step by step. Be proud that He is with you. I know that America needs to be evangelized, but I am also well aware that if each one of us would just go out of our house with the loving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we would just go to our neighbors or go to someone on the street, we could have this all wrapped up and America could be completely evangelized by noon tomorrow. It's true. We could have every person in America hear the loving message of a Savior in a non-critical, non-condemning invitation. It would still be their choice. But the Bible says the world needs to hear. And if they hear it from a loving soul, from a light who is, you know, convinced and convicted that Jesus, He changed my life. He will change yours. If we could just motivate ourselves to go to one person, we would have all of America evangelized by noon tomorrow. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to challenge you to do yours. You see, because the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is an invitation. It's an invitation. It's a whosoever will. It's an invitation. It's an invitation first to come and see for yourselves. Come and see for yourself. And then it is an invitation to go and tell others. Let's read it as we prepare for communion. Matthew 28, a message to come and see and a message to go and tell. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." This morning, we have heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know it is a message of love. It's also a message of pain. But it's ultimately a message of hope. It is my hope and the hope of Jesus while he hung on that cross, that you, right now, would invite him into your life. Who could ever have a problem with Jesus? He has to be grossly misrepresented for anyone to not love him. He loved you. Would you consider, are you ready to invite him in? Maybe invite him into places in your life that you have not allowed him yet. Maybe you've only allowed him, you know, to save your soul, but not really become Lord of your life. Would you do that right now? Those of you on campus, would you consider it's reasonable and reverential for you to just bow your heads or your thoughts or close your eyes or look to heaven? Something so that you can be with you and Jesus for just a moment. The same thing for you online. Would you just draw yourself into a moment where it's just you and God for just a moment? Consider. Just consider. Have you invited him in? If you have, then he will provide for you a step that you can take. There's always something you can do to please him. I know life can afford us pain, but the resurrection gives us hope. Jesus wants to make your life better. He wants to fill you with joy and peace, but first he wants to save your soul. If you're ready to invite him in, then pray this prayer with me. Those of you on campus, those of you online, simple prayer. There's no magic in the words. But if you will sincerely consider these words as you ask God to forgive you and to save you, he will. It's connected to your sincerity. It's not connected to the words. It's connected to your heart. It's connected to your willingness. You know, why not? Why not right now? Let's pray. Pray this with me. God, I believe. I believe you love me. I don't understand the pain of this world, the disappointments, the loss. I don't understand the pain, the physical pain, the emotional pain. But I see Jesus on the cross for my sin. God, forgive me. Forgive me where I have failed you. Forgive me where I have disinvited you in areas of my life. Thank you for the forgiveness that is offered through the blood of Jesus. I know I don't deserve it, but it's about what He did. He opened this door. It's not about what I have done. God, I need your help. I need your help, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to you. Teach me how to do it. I give you my life now. And I invite Jesus into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Fill my mind. Fill my life. I want to make you proud of me. Lord, give me your love for those around me. Lord, enrich me with resources so that I can help. Lord, I will. I will help to feed the hungry, as you said. I will help, Lord, to bring healing to those, Lord, who are in pain, Lord, and physical trauma, Lord. I will do my part, Lord, to care about others, Lord. I will do what I saw you doing in as much as I can, Lord, and in ways that you afford for me. Lord, now, I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord. Give me that same Spirit that raised you from the dead, Jesus. Lord, and make me alive, Lord, and God, give me, Lord, a life, God, that you're pleased with, God, that I'm proud of, and Lord, that shines so that others can see you in me and have hope for their life. And God, Lord, when I die, Lord, take me to heaven. Lord, God, so my eternity, Lord, can be all that I've read, all that you promised. Lord, I have this hope in you. I will not let it go. And God, I pray, Lord, that because America was born a Christian nation, Lord, I pray that you would forgive our sins, sir. That you would help and heal our nation. God, that you would save our leaders. And God, that you, Lord, would help us to know what we can do to be that loving light shining in America and to all the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another powerful message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.